What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Giants Nation podcast. I'm your host, Justin Roman. And guys, today I hope you all are having a wonderful Monday night. Or Monday evening, you could say. But guys, today we're gonna be talking about the New York Giants. You know, obviously, with today, the Giants going into Minnesota with a huge playoff win. You know, first playoff win for the Giants since the 2011 season when the Giants took their trip to the Super Bowl and faced Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. The Giants will be heading to Lincoln Financial Field next Saturday, 8:15 or 8:20. I'm going to have to check the schedule for the divisional round. But yeah, there was a lot of crazy football. There was a lot of crazy playoff games during playoff weekend. We still got one more matchup to go. We have the Dallas Cowgirls and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, so, yep, that's going to be the last matchup, the last playoff matchup for Super Wild Card Weekend. But I'm here to talk about the Giants. I'm just here to, you know, you guys know, whenever I go on my podcast, I'm always coming up with something to talk about, you know, and it's always relatable to this football team. What I want to talk about is the Giants' adjustments against the Vikings' latest sign of their coaching advantage. You know, it's growing increasingly, clear that the Giants have a coaching advantage more often than not when they take the field. You know, that advantage revealed itself again in their 31-24 playoff victory over the Vikings inside a very loud and, at the end, quiet, subdued U.S. Bank Stadium. There were adjustments, you know, galore as the Giants engaged in another close game with the Vikings, a team that beat them 27-24 on Christmas Eve on a 61-yard field goal as time expired. On defense, the Giants took Justin Jefferson, the most prolific. I think we can all agree this guy is one of the most prolific wide receivers in the NFL, out of the game. You know, limiting him to one reception in the second half. The return from injury of cornerback Adoree Jackson had plenty to do with this. But so too did the maneuverings of defensive coordinator Wink Martindale to give Jefferson different looks. The Giants also took, the Giants also took a play the Vikings liked to run, you know, screen pass to running back Dalvin Cook and ground that play into the ground. You know, with cornerback Darnay Holmes especially effective in stomping out those plays. Cook had 6 receptions in this game, you know, for a total of only 10 yards. Martindale in the second half instructing safety Xavier McKinney to play closer to the box helped limit the damage tight end TJ Hockenson created. But look, I think there were plenty of nifty looks from head coach Brian Daboll and offensive coordinator Mike Kafka. You know, did you, like, if you're going to ask me, did you see that behind the back handoff Daniel Jones put off to Matt Breida? There was action in the run game sending the flow of the defense to the right side as Breida moved to his left. The Vikings should have been prepared for Saquon Barkley coming out of the backfield as a pass-catching threat. But Kafka changed up the design on some of these routes, causing conflict with the Vikings linebackers. Barkley ran free to pick up 56 yards on his five receptions, providing a crucial safety valve for Daniel Jones. You know, and I also want to talk about I also want to mention more that came out of the Giants' first postseason victory in more than a decade. Daniel Jones became the first quarterback in NFL history. And I think I told you guys this yesterday. This guy became the first quarterback in NFL history with 300 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and 70-plus rushing yards in a postseason game. Daniel Jones finished with 301 passing yards, 78 rushing yards and touchdown passes to Isaiah Hodgins and Daniel Bellinger. Daniel Jones' 300-yard passing game was the fifth for the Giants in the playoffs. Eli Manning and Kerry Collins each had 2 of them. Look at the roughing the passer penalty on Dexter Lawrence for tossing Kirk Cousins on the ground just after, you know, he released the ball on a fourth quarter throw. It might have been a soft call. You know, Dexter Lawrence even said, "I was pissed off after that." Lawrence was also saying, "I had to shake it off and keep playing the next play." You know, like, no one questioned that the Giants belonged in the NFC tournament, but they did go into the postseason with a record of 0-6 against the NFC field, 0-2 against the Eagles, 0-2 against the Cowboys, 0-1 against the Seahawks, and 0-1 against the Vikings. The Giants picked an opportunity. They picked an opportune time to beat one of the best teams in the NFC. And people can say, "Oh, the Vikings are not a real 13-win team." It doesn't matter. They won 13 games. And look at Kirk Cousins, great dude. You can't trust him in big time moments. But at the end of the day, Kirk Cousins, he is playing with a better roster. And at the end of the day, you know, I mean, the guy was in the MVP conversation, you know? And I think we can all agree that Kirk Cousins, he's not the reason why this Vikings offense is flowing. It's because of the guys he has around him. You know, like, give Daniel Jones the pieces Kirk Cousins has. Give Daniel Jones a Justin Jefferson or, you know, Justin Jefferson, KJ Osborne. You know, give him those type of pieces. I for sure Daniel Jones would look much better than Kirk Cousins. Just because Daniel Jones, he played a better game. Even though Kirk Cousins barely had a better passer rating than Daniel Jones. You know, remember, like, does anyone remember when reaching 30 points was some faraway ideal and not at all associated with Giants reality? They went 43 consecutive games without scoring 30 points plus. They piled 38 on the Colts on New Year's Day. I'm pretty sure every Giants fan can remember that. You know, look at, with the 31 points they slapped on the Vikings, the Giants have now surpassed 30 points in 2 of their last 3 games. And the one they scored only 16 points was in their was with their backups on the field in the regular season finale. You know, the offense had no trouble moving the ball in the Vikings. You know, amassing 445 total yards on Christmas Eve in Minneapolis and putting up 431 total yards, you know, the second time around inside U.S. Bank Stadium. Look, there is plenty of speculation about the job security of Ed Donatell, who is the Vikings' defensive coordinator, and the Giants did not help with that job security with the way they scored and churned out yards on his unit. You know, look it. All I'm trying to say is this. The 431 total yards was the fourth highest total in Giants postseason history. Their most prolific playoff game also came against the Vikings, which the Giants had 518 yards in that epic 41-0 route in the 2000 NFC Championship game. The other two high yardage playoff games which was 446 at San Francisco on January 5th, 2003, and 442 against Atlanta on January 8th, 2012. The 28 first downs was the second highest total for the Giants in the playoff game. You know, bettered only by the 31 first downs they had. You guessed it, against the Vikings in the 2000 game. No sacks and no turnovers on defense is usually a pathway to failure. That happened twice to the Giants this season, and losses to the Cowboys and Lions. Wink Martindale's defense did not sack Kirk Cousins and also failed to create a turnover. Yep, the Giants won. You know, look it. All I'm saying is this. And I said it, and this, and what I'm about to say is something that has to do with Daniel Jones' success. And, you know, this was something I was saying not too long ago. When you can, it doesn't matter, and this is also Brian Daboll, you can, I'm pretty sure any other head coach that's getting interviews for head coaching jobs can learn from Brian Daboll. And what Brian Daboll is letting the entire world know, when it comes to, you don't have to have the best quarterback in the first round to be great. You don't have to have that. Like, when Josh Allen got drafted, we didn't, none of us knew what Josh Allen could do. You know, Josh Allen was horrible in his rookie year. But you know what happened? Brian Daboll coached him up. And he put Josh Allen in very good situations where he could succeed at. And that's running the football efficiently well. And throwing, you know, obviously Josh Allen had the strongest arm in his own draft class. You know, he had the strongest arm coming out of the country when he got into the NFL Combine, when he was playing for Wyoming State. You know, what Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones is showing everyone is that you can have. I'm literally making a quarterback that came out of Duke, who no one cares about Duke football. But what I'm showing everyone is that I can coach up a quarterback from Duke and make him a star. And Daniel Jones is showing everyone is that, oh, you could give me the pieces that, if you give me the pieces that I need, if you give me a good coach, you give me a good offensive coordinator, oh, I can be unstoppable. And that's what Daniel Jones is doing. And you can see the similarities between Daniel Jones and Josh Allen, how Brian Daboll uses Daniel Jones. Either it's a read option play, a boot action, play action, passing play. It's very similar to how Josh Allen did it. You know, now, and I don't know if you guys witnessed, but Daniel Jones, he did a little bit of a stiff arm to Patrick Peterson. It's kind of relatable to Josh Allen. And we all know, you know, like we all, you know how we all, you know, when you see Josh Allen run those little out routes, and if he can't find anyone, he's going to run it. You see how he stiff armed those cornerbacks? Now, Daniel Jones, his stiff arm is not that good, but it's very similar to Josh Allen, you know? Obviously, Josh Allen and Daniel Jones. You know, I'm pretty sure until the day we all die, we're not going to ever see these two, you know, very similar. But the way they play, it's not that different. You know, Josh Allen, he's obviously a much bigger quarterback. And he has a little bit more muscle to him. But Daniel Jones, he's shown the same things. And Daniel Jones, he actually played the better game than Josh Allen did. Josh Allen had 4 turnovers. He threw 2 interceptions and fumbled the ball twice. Daniel Jones had a better playoff game than Josh Allen did, you know? And that was the one thing I was worried about going into this game, because we all know when rookie quarterbacks make their playoff debut, you know, we all know what the story's going to be. You know, you're going to expect a rookie quarterback to struggle. That wasn't the case for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, he made this game look like a simple regular season football game, you know? And he was amazing. You know what, man? I'm very pleased that this guy has landed in New York. I'm excited for Daniel Jones. I'm excited for the future for this kid, you know, because, you know, I'm a believer. I believe in miracles. You know, I'm not, you know, and look, you guys may not be as religious as I am, but I believe miracles can happen, you know, and I believe you can draft a quarterback that came from the worst school and make him into one of the best stars, either that's in the AFC or in the NFC. I mean, look at Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, he's going to be facing Jalen Hurts. No one thought Jalen Hurts was going to be successful. When Jalen Hurts in his second year, none of us knew what Jalen Hurts could do. You know, we didn't know how good of a thrower he was with the football and his accuracy and decision making. But he's showing that. You know why? Because Jalen Hurts, he just has studs around him. He has A.J. Brown. He has Devontae Smith. He has Dallas Goedert. He has pieces around him, you know? I'm just trying to say, just imagine if Daniel Jones was with those other teams. Imagine if he was with a team like the Philadelphia Eagles or a team like the Minnesota Vikings. These teams that have juggernaut of offenses, you know? That's all, you know, and Daniel Jones, he's not playing with the best receivers, you know, and he's still winning games. You know why? Because it has everything to do with putting your quarterback in the right situations and grabbing the right coach. We got to thank John Mara. John Mara did all of this. If it wasn't for John Mara, I don't think us Giants fans would be witnessing what we're witnessing right now, you know, and I'm loving it, you know. So, it's fun to be a Giants fan, you know, and I think, even if we lose to the Philadelphia Eagles, we're going to be back in the playoffs next season because we have a good GM who knows what it takes to win. Who knows what it takes to win. You know, obviously we still need a build. We still need to build this offensive line. You know, we still need receivers. Our secondary still needs time to build as well. I think the defensive line is set, you know, but the future is bright. You know, I'm very interested in seeing how much money he's going to get paid, you know, because he's going to get paid, you know, going into the playoffs and winning a playoff game. That's huge, you know, but that's all I have to say for today. I hope you guys enjoyed my podcast. I will be back tomorrow for more Giants football. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until then, I'm out. Peace. Thank you.